Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The concept behind a gated community is safety and to some extent exclusivity. The idea to create a place where intruders can be quickly identified, where residents can shelter their families behind fences and walls, a kind of extended nest. But in the case of the retreat at Twin Lakes in Sanford, Florida, neither Trayvon Martin nor George Zimmerman were intruding. Zimmerman was patrolling because he didn't think the community was safe, and in the end, Trayvon was not safe at all. So it's a question that we put to you. Who or what makes a community or a neighborhood seem safe or unsafe? One listener texted this answer. I have a popular strip mall close to home. Having so much activity nearby you would make you think you would feel unsafe. Actually, the opposite is true. And we got also this text. Changing the layout won't change the culture of the community. Education, employment, improved housing, and healthier diet are a few factors that would likely increase the safety in my neighborhood. Joining us now to talk about this, Elijah Anderson, professor of sociology at Yale and the author of The Cosmopolitan Canopy, Race and Civility in Everyday Life. Also with us, Galina Tachieva, partner at DPZ, architects and town planners and author of The Sprawl Repair Manual. Thanks for joining us, both of you.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk about the concept, Elijah, of the gated community. And this, some people have begun to talk about the fact that it was a gated community in which the Trayvon Martin tragedy occurred that was a problem. Why?
Yeah, well, I mean, places like this are, by definition, protected, so to speak. But within those boundaries, sometimes people are rather diverse, but they share a class position. And they do become protective these days. We have crime and alienation all about, and these places are enclaves that pretend to be safe, try to be safe, and become defensive. They become defensive communities in a way, the defended neighborhood, so to speak. And the people who live there oftentimes take that very seriously.
Well, Galina, is there a way? Do you buy the fact that urban planning can actually make a community more safe or less safe?
Yes, as an urban planner, I definitely believe that the built environment actually affects human behavior to a certain extent, and that we can also shape in the way we design and build our communities. We can shape the ways we interact with friends, neighbors, and most importantly, with strangers. There are some environments that are more susceptible or more predisposed to crime, and others that are more resilient. If you think about an empty parking lot of a large big box or a mall at night, this is probably not the safest place, if you think about it. A gated community or the gated community, the so-called retreat of at Twin Lakes, actually it's not the exception. It's so typical. It's so pervasive in this type of development, which we sometimes call as a kind of sprawling suburbia. There are so many, thousands and even millions of these gated communities all around the country and all around the world. It is a kind of a typical element of a car-dependent environment. And if we think about traditional urbanism or our traditional neighborhoods, which we used to build, which are much more connected, gates were not known, gated communities actually were not built then, which had a lot of things happening in close vicinity. People could walk and to work, to school, to shops. Actually, these environments are much safer. And if you think about the gated communities, actually are fairly late phenomenon. Our first generation suburbs, which happened even at the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century, didn't have any gated communities. I mean, these are the first streetcar or railroad suburbs. The second generation in the late 40s even, with the Levittowns, so kind of the first sprawling type of community, which happened along thoroughfares which are dependent on the car. they didn't have gates. They didn't have gated enclaves. So in the early 80s, probably we can trace a kind of the first burst of gated community. So it's a kind of a new invention, if you wish.
That's Galina. Let me reintroduce you. That's Galina Tachieva, a partner at DPZ Architects and Town Planners. Also with us, Elijah Anderson, professor of sociology at Yale. Elijah, I mean, the rise of the gated community came at the same time that people became more and more concerned about protecting their families from crime. The purpose of a gated community was, as you say, protection and safety. Now it sounds like you and Galina are saying that a gated community makes you less safe. Explain how that works.
We go back to the idea of the suburb and Levittown. Levittown was a very segregated place, and there were restrictive covenants on housing in that day and time. That was quite legal. And since the civil rights movement, there's been an incorporation process where black people have been able to move anywhere they want to move, anywhere their financial abilities would take them. We call these fair housing laws. There's been this incorporation process. The gated community, in a sense, is another way to sort of make these communities, quote unquote, safe. And they began as really homogeneous places. Increasingly, they've become more diverse, especially when they're relatively lower income. And this is what kind of a place we're talking about here.
So perhaps, Elijah, what we're really saying is maybe it's not necessarily the gates that you're talking about here, but the fact that this was an enclave and people may feel as though it's being intruded upon, that the diversity of the community means that they're being invaded in some ways.
Well, what these places try to do these days, given the onslaught of so much diversity, they try to make these places into cosmopolitan canopies of a sort. But the gated community, by definition, is very different from the cosmopolitan canopy. And yet, this is a very desirable thing to approach. In my book, I talk about the fact that we have islands of civility in cities surrounded by a sea of racial segregation or segregated living. The problem is when people enter the canopy, of course, the canopy is a beautiful place, but the canopy has fault lines, the most important of which is race. And this is the kind of thing that someone like Trevon ran into. Black people.
With tragic consequences. We'll have to leave it there. That's Elijah Anderson, professor of sociology at Yale, author of The Cosmopolitan Canopy, Race and Civility in Everyday Life. And Galina Tachieva, partner at DPZ, Architects and Town Planners, and author of The Sprawl Repair Manual. Join this conversation at 877-8MYTAKE.